This second session has a lot of meat. It's very important that your business and your ability to handle them, to overcome the fear, to them, will determine your long-term success. Listen carefully and internalize the exciting concepts as we learn how to master the art of cashing objections.
Cashing objections. Let's start this out by discussing briefly a situation that you can correct and correct fast. Bill's objections for you. Objections you don't need to have. There's a little thing I call wariness of nasty words. Whether you know it or not, in the process of talking to the person you're trying to persuade to buy your product, you use words that build objections and fight in his mind. So let's talk about some of those words you use that destroy your sale for you. For example, buy. Sell, sold. Nobody wants to buy anything. They've already bought too much, haven't they? Sell. Does anyone want you to sell them anything? Who wants sold anything? And yet I hear salesmen constantly say, now when you buy, or after I sell you, or when you've been sold, and they wonder why they get a resistance. Buy, sell, sold. These are nasty words. Now, the word to use as a substitute is a word called own. Don't ever buy. Say, when you own. You see, they don't mind owning things. They just don't want to buy them. But in addition, own is assumptive. It assumes he already has it. Buy, sell, sold. No, own. Yes. And what about this word, sign? I hear sales around this country all the time asking people to sign things. Nobody wants to sign anything. What have you been told about signing since you were a child? Watch it, careful, beware! Now here's a strange and bitter truth. They won't sign it, but they'll okay it. So don't you ever ask anybody to sign something, anything. Just simply put it in front of them, hand them your pen. Okay this for me, please. They're perfectly willing to okay it. They just won't sign it. Now, another enormously nasty word that you use all the time is the word contract. What have you been told about contracts? Again, same old bit. Beware, be careful, read every single word, and then doubt it. And yet, salesmen keep doubling this in brass. I hear them all the time asking someone to sign a contract. What's the substitute for contact? Come on, contract, you tell me. What is it? Agreement, that's right. We've got to come up with a variant on that because we're overusing agreement. Someday we'll come up with a new one. But for the time being now, agreement. Ask them to okay an agreement. Don't ever ask them. Now, are there any other nasty words that you use religiously and constantly? Let me hit another area. This is the area that I call the money term. Pay. Payment. Down payment, monthly payment, semi-annual payment, cash, price. These are all nasty words. Why? Huh? You tell me. What's wrong with these words? Any ideas? Oh, no wonder you're having problems. I'll tell you what the basic problem is. They're already making too many payments. They're already paying too much. Have you ever heard anybody say this to you? You offer them anything, and then you say the monthly payment is so-and-so, and they say immediately paying too much. Well, now, what are you going to use instead of pay or payment? What are you going to use instead of cash, price? What are you going to use as a substitute for these things? I'll tell you. Investment. They have a monthly investment. They have an original investment. They have a quarterly investment, a total investment. You see, the word investment implies they're going to get something back, doesn't it? And isn't that true of any product you're selling? They're getting something back. So they are investing, not paying. It isn't a total price, it's a total investment. It isn't a monthly payment, it's a monthly investment. Nothing else, they have every reason to be proud of being an investor. But there's no pride in being a payer, is there? Are there any other of these nasty words? Huh? What words are you carrying around in your vocabulary every single day that frighten people, that actually scare them? Huh? I wonder if you have ever sat down and actually listened to the words you say. If you did, you wouldn't buy it either. Fairly bitter truth.
Here's one I'd like to add. As Doug mentioned, we need to constantly come up with new words, and agreement for contract is excellent. Also, we might just say, let me just outline your thoughts or draft up your feelings on the paper. Many of you in the automobile industry would want to call your form the worksheet. So let's be sensitive to the words we say so we don't create this enemy that is always lurking, waiting to destroy the sale. And that, of course, is fear. Also, you may be in a business that, because of legislation, regulations, you aren't allowed to call your product an investment. And surprisingly, many people listening to you at your presentation table or at the desk hear you say the word total investment, initial investment, monthly investment. And if there's any challenge down the road, they remember the word investment. And if legally you're not to consider your product an investment, you can get yourself into some trouble. So I suggest to you that if that's your situation, meaning possibly you're in some type of financial, securities, mutual funds, fine art, I suggest that you use the words total, initial, or monthly amounts and drop the word investment.
For example, the trade terminology. Now, every one of you that has a business or is in a business has a series of trade terms that you like to toss around. I think, for example, of a cartoon I saw in a magazine. I should have torn it out because I've done a lot of work in the electronics and space age industries. And this was a cartoon, and it showed a very lush babe on one side, and on the other side was a very dignified-looking gentleman, quite dignified and paunchy and well past middle age. And he was saying to this very pretty girl, he was saying, my wife doesn't understand me. Nuclear physicist. Now, there is just no kidding. I don't know if you know whether this is true or not, but these scientists can talk to no one but themselves. They have a language that has no use in normal everyday society. But you, as salesmen, in an effort to show off, take these words that are your own trade terminology and you slap them on. I don't know what you're talking about. For example, did you ever have a radio salesman try and sell you a spot? So what's a spot? I've got a dog. On our rug, we got spots. I don't want to buy any more of those. I got enough of them now. That's a spot. A spot is something I take my shirt to the cleaners to get out. And yet a man wants me to pay money for a spot. This is a trade terminology. This is a nasty word. How many do you use? What's an endowment? Now, you may know, but the person you're talking to is not quite sure. And when he doesn't know what it is, he doubts it. What are the trade terms that you're using that frighten people? Drywall. Well, I thought every wall was dry. Anything that is a basic trade terminology has no place in your sales presentation unless you're selling to somebody in your business. Use words people understand because you are in the business of communicating with people. You're in the business of giving them something they can understand so that they can make the decision you want them to make. Any of these trade terms, throw them out. Use people language. Deal. What do you mean by deal? What do you mean when you say The word deal has a very nasty connotation, doesn't it? What you're saying is opportunity. Now, I'd a whole lot rather sell an opportunity than make a deal. And I know that if I was selling opportunities, I'd get more college kids that wanted to sell opportunities. And pitch. What's a pitch? Huh? That's what the guy with the dirty old cheap ties makes when he stands on a street corner with a cop ready to chase him. This is what the criminal segment of our industry does. We have a criminal segment. So have doctors, they have criminal segments. So have attorneys, they have criminal segments. Every profession has a criminal segment. Criminal segment makes pitches. Now, did you ever hear of a legitimate doctor referring to himself as a quack? Huh? Did you ever hear a legitimate attorney referring to himself as a shyster? Then why do you refer to yourself as a pitchman or a peddler? This is what the segment of our business uses. You don't make pitches, you make presentations. I hope. Watch the words you use. Be sure of how they sound to the ear you're talking to. Don't try to show off how smart you are by using terms they cannot understand. Because whenever you use terms, you bewilder them, you lose them. Talk to them in their language, not yours. Fair enough?
Over the years, through testing our students and listening to numerous presentations, we found that there's some other words that we should try to eliminate when we're presenting our product or service. The problem. Instead of saying, I can understand your problem, let's use the word challenge. I get that challenge. In fact, our company is a challenge-solving company, and we've helped many clients overcome that challenge. Doesn't that sound better than problem? The next word is objections. I can understand your objections. I see why you're objecting. Let's drop that and let's use the words area of concern. I can appreciate that area of concern, Bill. We've helped numerous clients overcome. Let's not use the word cheaper. It demeans your product as to quality. Let's use more economical. Also, the word customer is so cold. Let's refer to our customers as the people we serve. You in retail, when someone comes in, let's not use the word looker. Are you just a looker? Let's use the word researcher. And next, let's not use the word prospect. In fact, if you'll take all your prospects and you'll start calling them future clients, you'll be amazed how much better you do with them. And some of you can drop the word appointment. I'd like an appointment. Why not use the word visit? I'd like to come by and visit. We have some exciting ideas we'd like to share with you. It's amazing some of them will let you come and visit. They're just petrified to set an appointment.
All right, now let's get back to the basic subject, cashing objections. The first principle of cashing objections in today's market is this one. Don't ever argue. Don't ever fight. I don't know how many of you have ever stepped into a ring. But boy, if you move into a punch, you're gonna die. What's the only way in the world you can avoid full impact of a punch, huh? You tell me. What is it?
Step away.
Step away. What do they call it?
Ride it.
Duck.
Roll with it. Roll with a punch. Don't stick your jaw out. Roll with it. Back with it. Because if you stand there solid and try and fight that punch, you'll die. The same thing is true in dealing with people and trying to persuade them to own a product. Don't ever fight them. And yet salesmen fight them endlessly. Anytime anyone comes along, gives them a big fat objection, old Johnny Q salesman now rises to the and he starts proving to this character how wrong he is. Now you may prove he was wrong, but that's not why you're there. You're not there to prove him wrong. You're there to prove him right so that he wants the product.
the punch. Now, how do you go about this process of rolling the punch? This is what we're going to examine. However, whenever you talk about this process of handling an objection, the first thing you've got to understand is that there is a difference between what we call a condition and an objection. You've got to understand this difference. A condition is a reason for not buying which actually exists. For example, no money. Has no money. I don't care how you try and sell him. This is a condition. The best selling in the world. And you don't wind up with a sale because he hasn't got enough money to buy it. Or no credit. First today, who needs money? But he does need some degree of credit. No credit, you can't sell it. If you do, the boss will have your throat, won't he? This is condition. Are there any other conditions? Come on, you tell me.
Sickness,
illness. There are many businesses where this is enormously affected. All right, anything else that is a condition?
Occupation.
With many products, occupation can be a condition. Anything else that's a condition? Come on.
Subject to the draft.
Subject to draft.
Age.
Location. These are all conditions. One warning, however. Because a man says it to you, don't believe it. Explore it. In other words, don't take it when he says it and then quit. If he says, I'm too old, find out what he means when he says too old. Too old for what? Too old for your product or too old for girls? Could be two different subjects. So, explore it, whatever it is. Make sure it's valid. But a condition is a reason for not buying which actually exists. Now, can you think of any more really basic conditions? You better think of some more. Come on.
Size?
Yep. Size can be a condition. Anything else that could be a condition? You better think of some more.
No need.
No total possible use of the product. Anything else? You better think of some more.
Health
we talked about.
Past experience.
No, that's an objection. You know why you better think of some more? If none of these things exist and they don't buy it, it's your fault. If no condition exists and they don't buy it, you were not good enough. There are no lousy prospects, just lousy salesmen. If he qualifies, if a condition does not exist and he doesn't buy it, you eat it, Buster. It's your fault. Okay. Those are conditions. Now let's talk about objections. An objection, reason for not buying, which arises out of a prospect's lack of understanding and is usually based on insufficient information. It's an illusion, really. But he just doesn't understand enough. Now, any good salesman who has any confidence at all can handle any objection. This premise we must start with. The smartest salesmen in the world look for objections. I'm sure that any of you that have been around the field of selling for any period of time at all know that the one prospect you will never sell is the man who never gives you an objection. The guy that sits there and goes along with everything. What happens when you try and close him? He not only doesn't want his money. He was taking a little free show for a while. Okay. The smart salesman looks for, wants, and identifies objections. Why? Because they identify the thing this prospect is interested in buying. They identify the areas of his interest. They identify the things that are important to him. Because if they weren't important, he wouldn't bring up this objection, would he? So the smart salesman looks for objections. And he red flags them. Boy, that's what he's gonna buy on. This is his interest. Now, there are formulas for handling objections. There is a very specific formula for handling an objection during a presentation. So let me give you that formula. It's in two segments. The first time you hear an objection, you bypass it always. Let me say that again. The first time you hear an objection, you never answer it. Why? Come on, somebody tell me.
Get him off on another track.
Argumentative right away.
It's argumentative right away. Get him off on another track. Any other reasons?
Don't solidify it in his mind.
You don't solidify it in his mind. And we also know that a high percentage of these people have a series of pat objections that they automatically give. Now, the first time you hear an objection, you bypass it always. This is what we call in sales training the yes but theory. Now, I don't believe in yes, but I think it's a little too harsh. What I normally do is say, yes, sir, I can see why you feel that way about it. By the way, and then go on. Always acknowledge, yes, sir, I can see why you feel that way about it. By the way, and then just go right on with your presentation. Now, you'll find that if you do this, a high percentage of the objections that are beating you today will eliminate themselves for once and for all. You bypass it, and he'll forget it because it wasn't valid. Now, if it was a valid one, what'll happen?
He'll ask it again.
Now, if he asks it again, now you have a valid objection, and now you handle it by this formula. Here are the steps to the formula. Step one. Shut up and listen! Shut up and listen! I don't know what there is about salesmen, but they hear three words and they think they know what this character's going to say. So now they step in and they have to answer what they think he's going to say. Even if you guess right, he's going to be irritated. And you could guess wrong. This is a little thing which means listen to what he says to you. Hear him. Step one. Shut up. Listen. Step two. Question it. Question it. Just to clarify my thinking, sir, what brought that to your mind at this moment? Or, just to clarify my thinking, sir, what makes that so critical at this moment? Now, what are you going to gain if you question it? I'll tell you, one of these things. First, in trying to explain it to you, it'll sound stupid even to him. Or, second, he will reiterate it. Now you really know what you're going to answer. And third, in trying to explain it, he'll hidden an objection. Now you'll find this out only if you question it. Step three, after you've questioned it, answer it fully. And step four, confirm the answer. That clarifies it completely now, doesn't it, sir? Don't ever leave that objection without a total clarification so it's buried forever and he can't bring it up and hit you with it again. Now, that is the formula for handling objections. First, you bypass it. On second hearing, I hope you'll remember, shut up and listen. Question it. Answer it. Confirm the answer. Talk about the specific methods of answering specific objections. I'm going to see if I can bring you into a new way of handling objections. The greatest form of objection that we have to deal with is the money objection. One way or another, it costs too much, I can't afford it, somebody else will sell it to me cheaper. Now, if you've never heard any of these things, why, you can leave. Assuming you've heard of them, let's go on. How do you handle a money objection? It costs too much. Of course it does, sir. How much too much? And have him name it. This is a TV set. And it's $25 more. Let me ask you this question, sir. Isn't it true the manufacturer has a choice to make? He may produce a product to do as much as possible, or he may produce a product to do as little as he can get by with. Isn't this the choice a manufacturer has to make? Now, why create a product designed to do as little as he could get by with? Why would a manufacturer design that kind of a product? You tell me.
Cheaper.
Cheaper. Now let me ask, what do you want me to do for you? As little as I can get away with, or as much as possible? Now where does he go from here? And you have not fought his objection. Have you?
Did you catch those three words that Doug used a couple of times? By the way. We call those mind-neutralizing words, meaning they're words that you can use to shift gears mentally with the person you're speaking to. Not only that, in talking about it costs too much, you developed a little sentence that works so well. Just smile and say, today most things do. Can you tell me about how much too much you feel it is? Then, of course, they give you an amount of money, which we would label as our final area of concern. And then, if possible, we would use the reduction to the ridiculous, which is breaking the total amount or monthly amount into a daily amount. I love the name of this tape, Cashing Objections, because think about it. When you totally comprehend the fundamentals that have just been taught, you'll be cashing them, and you'll be smiling, and you'll be on your way to the bank, won't you?
This is the end of this side. Please turn the tape over